And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to the LGBT show that is Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Natalie. Today on the show, Sausages and Judy Garland.
Yes, the Sausage Inspector, a.k.a. Andy Skinner, is here live in the studio. That's going to be such a hoot. And, well, Ivan will tell you a little bit more about Judy a little bit later on. So, Sausage Inspector.
Yes, I know. I tell you what, it must be very, very difficult, you know, to... You got to sort of taste them and basically try and taste the difference.
Yes. I'm not going to say anything because there's going to be enough innuendo when we get to the interview as it is.
I'm sticking to the scientific facts.
So, anyway, hello, Steph.
Good evening. Don't you drag me into this conversation.
I didn't. All I said was hello.
Good evening.
So, and can we say hello to Terry as well? Bless him. He's at O'Meal.
Yeah. Get well soon, Terry.
Miss you, mate. So I had to do After Dark on my own on Sunday, bless. It's not the same without Terry.
No, he's nice to have around, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's full of facts.
Yeah. But good news, the next Shout Out After Dark show, if you're not aware, Shout Out has two shows now. This main show that we're doing now, we also have a quarterly midnight show that we do called Shout Out After Dark, which the next one that's coming next Thursday at midnight on BCFM, and we'll also go out on Pirate Nation Radio and then be on podcast, obviously, is all on Pep and Prep.
Ooh.
So do you remember we had Greg?
Yes, we had them in. Yes.
It was great because we actually have a whole show on it, so we go into a lot more detail about it. Mm. So
that's a good thing about the After Dark show, isn't it?
Well, that was the whole reason we brought it about, really, was so that we could like take a topic and go more in depth. Mm. But it was great because I've never known us have so many experts in their fields. I mean, we had a guy from Terence Higgins Trust, we had Greg, who obviously runs the iwantprepnow.co.uk website and is a big campaigner for it, and we also had a guy from the NHS.
Ooh, so the NHS are involved then.
So and it was really good, really informative. So if you don't know anything about PEP and PrEP and the protections that they offer to do with HIV, it's a show well worth listening. Yeah, we'll be broadcasting next Thursday at midnight on BCFM.
I find a better protection. Don't get intimate.
Well, there is that, yes. And, of course, also the use of things like condoms as well, because they're only HIV protection. They're not anything else protection. So we cover that all in the show. So well worth listening. And if you missed the main show that we did on it, of course, that's already up on the website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. So...
I like that website, .lgbt.
It's cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So all the old domains still work, but that's kind of become our home now. So it's kind of cool, because there aren't that many, you see, the LGBT things.
No, not yet.
So I think Pink News has got one. You can go to pinknews.lgbt, but I think it just routes you to the new to their current one. So, but the domain name works for me. So anyway, I'm talking techie rubbish.
But anyway, it makes it easier for people to remember, don't they? They ain't got to go .co.uk, .com, .this, .that.
True, yeah.
It's quite easy.
But it's a bit confusing. There's so many of them now.
I know.
So, but they were running out of .co.uk and .com, that's why. So.
Yeah, I've seen some .uk.com.
Yeah, you can get that. And many more. So you can probably get .steph as well, I would imagine.
Really?
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, no, no.
Or .h&h, that'd be a good one.
You know she's going to look for it now.
There is .rich that costs you £1,000 a year to get.
.rich?
.rich, whoa. Yeah. And you have to be rich to get it. It really does cost a fortune, I don't know that much. So.
Oh, well, we'll leave that one to Donald Trump.
Anyway, should we do some events? So then, Outshout, our pick of the best events that are coming up this week with the lovely Steffi.
Guess what?
What?
There's a Winter Pride.
A Winter Pride?
A Winter Pride.
What, Bristol Winter Pride?
No. We're just a UK Winter Pride.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I was surprised as well. It's only up the road. If you head east on the M4, you bump into this huge city called London.
Only up the road.
It is only up the road. I used to go clubbing in London.
Yeah, or if you don't fancy driving, go on the train line. You can get tickets quite cheap if you book early.
Dear. Was that an ad? Are you getting paid for that?
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get some free train tickets.
Virgin Rail.
Or is it? I think it's First Great Western, or GWR as they are. Western Railway.
No, it needs to be Virgin Rail.
Yeah, no, I don't think Virgin go from here to London.
Really?
No.
They head up north.
Yeah, luck, sorry, Steph. Right. Anyway, go on, you're going clubbing at Winter Pride,
I wasn't going clubbing. I used to go clubbing in London, but...
are you going to go rave it up at Winter Pride? What are they doing?
Well, the whole idea is that...
Is it indoor? It must be indoor.
Yes, most of it is indoor. It's a place called the Coronet, which is on the New Kent Road. Not the old Kent Road, the New Kent Road.
No.
And it runs from 9 p.m. at night until 6 in the morning.
See, you can go dance your socks off.
And be home. be home for lunch.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I'm not sure I could do that these days. I used to when I was a student.
Well, that's what
I
mean.
Go clubbing in London till 6 in the morning, go back and go to uni the next day.
Exactly,
I can see Steph up there, sipping her baby sham.
Baby sham. Oh,
they stopped making baby sham, you know.
Yeah, I had some on the weekend.
Oh, did you? Oh, I thought they stopped making it. Oh.
I thought they
stopped
making
it. Right, Winter Pride with Steph drinking a baby sham till 6 in the morning. Yeah, come on.
I'm not too keen on baby sham. it's a pivotal winter event in the LGBTQI, blah, and there's a load more initials on the end of that, but we won't go into that. Social calendar bringing together leading industry figures, celebrities, and enigmatic performers from within the community for an evening of recognition, diversity, and outstanding artistic talent.
Does it say who the performers are?
It does. They've got four rooms.
Four rooms,
yeah. And outside, they've got arches, so I presume that's under a railway track.
Oh, yes.
Where they've got loads of art exhibitions. The headliners are in room one. Likes of legends, Smokin' Joe, Tom Stephan, and Paul Heron. Room two, which is the east side. That's sexy room, isn't it? East side. Explore the best that Hackney's gayborhood has to offer without having to leave the Elephant and Castle. There's DJ sets from Hannah Holland, John Joe Jory, Guy Williams, and Diva Ramirez. Room 3, Girls Arena, local London Celesbian Takeover. Like that word?
Celesbian.
Celesbian.
Oh. Yeah. I thought that was you with the slip of the tongue for a minute.
What, like you did at the beginning of the show? There's DJs from Dalston, Superstores Weekly, Girls Night, Clam Jammer, joined by Pitch Slap, Femme Fraiche, Resident Michelle Minetti, Yvette Lindquist of Mint East, House and Electro producer extraordinaire Izzy Trix, and Room 4, Orange She, Neil Prince. I know, another good one. David
I'm
O,
waiting for H&H to be in Room 5. It's...
Yeah, there is no Room 5, so we could do it. Okay. And that's the 90s. There's a food.
So how much does it cost?
There's a food court. It's only 12 quid.
Oh, that's not bad.
There's
bad
a food
London.
Court. There's a horse meat disco takeover. Oh, poor Ivan. He already lost his horse to France. He sent it for a holiday, didn't he, when he was covering for Phil Lyon's country music show, which is up after this one if you're on BCFM Live. There's a dragumentary dressed as a girl accompanying their high priestess, Johnny Wu, performance artist and L.UK columnist, Rhiannon Styles.
Mm.
Snap up a ticket now. ID required, you must be over 18. That's the 30th of January. That's Winter Pride. And guess what?
What?
The first Prides are coming up as early as the 30th of April. So if you want to go abroad, you can go to Swansea in Wales. that's on the 30th of April. And in the southwest, that's still in England, that's the 7th of May.
Yeah. Right. Should we move on? Because we've got the sausage inspector coming in a minute and I can't wait.
Yes, I better go.
Are we done? Cool. Cool. Thank you, Steffi.
And you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
And that's Sale. As I can't really know, as I said, there's a lot of words in this song, and they're Sale.
A lot of words in the song. There's a lovely statement for a radio show. There's a lot of words in there.
Well, they just say
it's obviously been done by someone who works at an auction. It keeps going sell.
No,
sell.
It's sale as in S-A-I-L.
Oh, okay.
Not the other kind. It's about AOL Nation anyway. So nice song. I like that one. You're not. It's not dancey enough for you, is it?
No, it's not.
So now, changing the subject completely. He's also known as Mr. Cheese. I know him as Andy, but welcome to the show, to the Sausage Inspector.
Thanks.
Now, we should clarify, because, of course, we've been, Mary and me and just about everyone else have been tweeting about having the Sausage Inspector on the show, but you are actually a food... hang on, let me get this
hygiene
right.
Hygiene specialist.
Yeah, I'm a food safety consultant, so I work mostly with big food companies that supply the big supermarkets. But I'm very lucky because I get to travel very far and wide, even as far as China, looking at food products from all over the world. And it means that I get to see some very interesting things, some very interesting products.
So, and it's not just sausages either. We should. I mean, we're going to be doing a kind of taste testing of sausages here, but you do wine and you do cheese and all sorts, don't you?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I have a passion for wine, and I hold the Wine and Spirit Trust higher certificate for that. But I also get to judge at all the big cheese shows around the country. So things like British Cheese Awards, where we get about 1,000 entries every year.
Wow.
That's actually held down at Bath and West now these days. And things like the Nantwich International Cheese Show. Last year, I think there was something like 4,500 entries across cheese, milk, cream, dairy, yogurt, butter, ice cream. So it's quite good fun. Wow. When you get to do ice cream tasting at 9:30 in the morning.
And I thought all the dairy farmers were going out of business.
No, there's still plenty of it around.
Oh, good.
I much prefer the idea of ice cream than sausage.
Well, tough, because we're doing sausages.
I would actually prefer the wine, but when you're doing the wine tasting, of course, you smell it, you take a sip, and then you spit it into a bucket. Yeah.
Well, if you invite me back, you know, later in the year, then maybe we can do some wine tasting as well.
Yeah, we'd like to sort of, you know, actually drink it.
No. You can do that when you're off air.
Okay.
So now, I'm going to ask, is it a case of you kind of have a special palate? Are you able to detect those things that the normal person can't when you're taste testing and the like?
Well, I mean, there are four basic tastes: salt, sweet, sour and bitter, and then umami, which is this fifth one that sometimes gets talked about. But when we talk about flavour is actually a combination of taste and aroma. So what you smell very often is what you think you're tasting. So I'm quite lucky because I'm what is known as a super taster. So I have something in the region of a 90-95% recall of flavour and odour. And there is a special training that you can go through to actually improve your ability on that.
Yeah, obviously it wouldn't work for me because I indulge in some bad habits which actually stop my tongue tasting things properly, like nicotine.
The odour thing, that's quite interesting. Do we smell in here?
Oh!
It smells of polish in here, actually.
Oh, thank God for that. Wondering, I'm sat next to the guy.
Oh, that'd be the station manager. He's obviously clean because we had a guest.
So what are we going to be doing with sausages today?
Right, well, let me tell you a bit about sausages then. I mean, we all know when we think of sausage, we think about the British banger.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the good old British banger, the breakfast sausage. And if you go back...
Battered one you have down at the fish and chips.
Possibly,
shop,
yeah. If you go back 30 or 40 years ago, I know, you know, as I was a teenager, you know, it was Wall's sausages. Everybody bought Wall's sausages because that was pretty much all you could buy. There's been a massive sort of growth in that particular product sector in the market over the last sort of 30, 40 years. And, you know, we now have all these lovely exotic flavours. You've only got to go into any supermarket and you will see, you know, the ones with pork with cider and apple and venison and so on. And, you know, these are really good quality products. These are also, you know, 80-90% meat content. So, you know, it's good quality meat that you're buying.
Can you give us an idea that what would a Wool's sausage have been meat-wise?
Oh, don't content? Go
is it like 20%?
about 45% in real terms.
I know there is a legal minimum before you can't call it a sausage.
There are, yes. I mean, you have legal minimum. Off the top of my head, I think it's a minimum of 65% of one particular meat. But what you find is that all the premium ranges will be up in the 80s and 90s. So you'll still find that the cheap cheaper end of the market will have the sort of, you know, 60% meat. But the higher quality stuff, you're well up in the 80s and 90s.
Did the British invent the sausage? Do we know?
No, I mean, the sausage has been around for thousands of years. I think it dates well back to Roman times or something like that. But in terms of, you know, across Europe, if you look at places like Germany, and I do a lot of work in Germany, if traditionally...
Well, they're bratwurst.
Oh, their sausages are the worst.
The worst. Oh, dear.
I promise I'll turn our mic off in a minute.
Yeah, that's taking us to a new low.
Okay, well, I mean, if you get a place like Germany, if you go back sort of 150 years, every small town butcher, local butchery shop, had a little sort of manufacturing business on the back, and they would make their own salamis, their own sausages, their own cooked meats. And this is a dying craft, and a lot of it is still, I mean, it's still made, but it's made in large-scale manufacturing processes now. But the technology is still very much the same. And you've got two broad categories. You've got the cooked type of products and the raw type of products that either need to be cooked or can actually be eaten what is technically raw.
With the cooking, now obviously, you know, you've got much better to palate than me for tasting the difference. What is the best way of cooking?
Personally,
For a normal sausage, you mean?
Yeah. Personally, frying. You know, now we all think, oh God, frying, that's really bad because, you know, you're adding fat. But if you don't need to have lots of oil in the pan, frying is by far the best way to get the best quality result of a decent high meat content sausage. Grilling's okay. Some people like to do them in the oven. Personally, I like to fry them on a griddle pan. Okay.
Isn't but not barbecue?
Barbecue is good, yeah.
Isn't having sausage just a way to get rid of all the junk that they can't use elsewhere?
Possibly in days gone by, it might have been. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got an animal, a pig or a cow or a chicken or whatever, and you want to try and use as much of the animal as you possibly can, because if you've got to throw bits away, well, then that impacts upon the cost of the other bits.
But is it a true sausage? Is pork, isn't it?
It can be pork or beef or chicken, but yeah, I mean, traditionally, a lot of things are pork. A lot of the continental things would be pork and beef combinations. But it really depends on local preference, and depending on which country you go to, depends on really their agriculture. I mean, if you go to somewhere like Denmark, there are three pigs on the ground for every person. Population of Denmark's about 7 million. Pig population of Denmark's about 22 million.
And we got pigeons.
Yeah. It's obviously why Denmark's rated as the happiest country in the world.
They have
they've
lots
got
of
bacon
sausage
every day.
Well, anyway, so look, let's have a talk about a few products.
Right,
then, yeah?
Okay. So are we doing English or are we doing foreign?
We all know about the English ones, so let's have a look at some of these continental things. So the first thing I've got to show you, this is actually a spicy pork ring. Now, this is, it's probably about 10 inches long, but it's curved round, so it's a horseshoe shape.
It's quite narrow in girth, isn't it?
Well, it's about an inch thick.
It looks a bit
okay.
Like a Matteson's sausage to me.
Well, yeah, I think they used to sell them, I think, years ago. I mean, this is something, this is made in Holland. You'll find these in local stores and probably the sort of 99p type stores. But, you know, for a pound, it's a good quality bit of product. It's about 70% meat. You can eat it cold. You can slice it up, put it into your salads. You can slice it up, fry it up, have it with chips or whatever. But, you know, this is a good quality product.
What worries me is the other 30%.
I was looking at it as something stick in a microwave because it's wrapped up in plastic.
Ah, well, it's in the plastic. And the reason for that is because when they make them, they then put them into this vacuum pack. And it's repasteurized in the pack. And what that enables them to do is to get 90-day shelf life out of it.
Ah.
So there's a bit of technology used
there.
Ah, there
you go, Natalie. Safe eating. Cover it in plastic or rubber.
Does the pasteurisation affect the flavour there?
Not particularly, because this is sealed in. So
is that a smoked
totally
sausage?
Sealed. There's no air in that pack, and this product will keep really, really well.
Is it a smoked sausage, that one?
That's smoked. That's quite heavily smoked, so that's hence the dark sort of brown colour of the product. So that has got quite a heavy smoke on it. And for smoking of sausages, they will use oak, they'll use beechwood. Most of it's beechwood. Sometimes you get things like hickory smoke. I was actually in the USA a few days ago, and everything tastes of mesquite. They've got this really strong mesquite and hickory flavour, which personally I don't like. Beech is a lovely soft.
Mesquite? Is it a type of wood or something?
Do you know, you completely stumped me there. I need to go and find out. I think it's a type of
wood.
But it's a very... I mean, I always know the flavour straight away because it's really quite strong and quite acrid, and it's a personal taste. Oh, so but a lot of the stuff we find in the UK...
Are we taste testing this one? Or
no, well, I'm not going to do taste test this one.
Oh, okay.
Couple of things I just want to show you as well. You then get things like the... This is a mini wiener.
Can you take some photos for us? And we'll shove it up with the podcast on the website so people can see what we're on about.
Frankfurters?
So these are basically a Frankfurter. Frankfurter hot dog, mini wieners. Wiener. I mean, that's
American term, wiener.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is a very American term. But these things, again, the sort of things you find in your supermarkets. Good quality product, probably 60-70% meat, lower than this your ultra premium product. But this is the sort of thing kids love. This is the sort of thing that kids love.
Yeah, for those listening, you need a better description, probably.
They look
when
like
you
hot
go
dogs,
to the zoo and you see the baboons playing around, it's about that.
Yeah, but
it?
They're hot dogs, but not the tinned ones. No. And for cooking those, boil in the bag, or would you fry them as well?
You could boil in the bag, or you could fry them off. Doesn't matter really which. You can microwave these. That's the beauty of a pack like that. You
every time I try and microwave them, I put it on too long and like, it will explode.
And they come out like India rubber tire. Yeah, no, that secret is not to over microwave them. Right, the next one I've got, you can actually have a taste of this. But before you have a taste of this, you've just got to have a look at the packaging.
Ooh.
Now, if anybody can actually pronounce this correctly, I'll be very surprised. But do have a go.
Minixukuk.
Right, okay. S-U-C-U-K, yeah. Okay, the correct pronunciation is actually sucuk. It's actually a Turkish product. It's a bit like a salami.
I was going to say, it looks very much like a... In fact, it looks like a pepperoni.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same sort of technology.
Or
chorizo. The thing about these types of products, though, is technically they're raw because they actually take the fresh meat, they mince it up, they grind it up with spices and salt and curry salt, and it's actually filled out into an edible casing. And that is then actually hung up and fermented with a starter culture, like you would ferment cheese, and dry, air-dried and smoked over a period of 2 or 3 weeks. So you end up with this very dry, very smoky, spicy product. Now, you've actually got a plate in front of you.
But is this what? Don't you like cook meat products to get the bacteria out of them?
Now, this is the clever bit, you see, because when you think about sausages, you're thinking, oh, well, I've got to cook these. This has been fermented with a starter culture in the same way that you would ferment cheese. So actually what's happened is we've used friendly bacteria to produce lactic acid to drop so we've got a very, lots of acid in the product. And we then dry it. And by drying it, we remove the moisture. And now we've reduced something that we call the water activity. So what we've now got is a product that's dry, it's acidic, it's spicy, and that's what makes it safe. So there's a whole technology behind
spicy.
This.
That doesn't taste like a pepperoni.
No, it doesn't. It's described as a garlic sausage with turkey meat.
Yes, that one actually is made with turkey. It's not made with pork.
Turkey meat.
This one's turkey meat, yeah. But
will say it's not my kind of food.
I mean, if you like salami-type products, then it's great because it's a bit of an acquired taste. But if you go into any high street supermarket, I mean, you'll find the sliced salamis in the packs. You know, these are probably about they're probably about 10 centimetres diameter.
It tastes herbally, I'd say.
That's the
you?
First time sausage has passed my lips in a long, long time.
That is...
I will say it is very, very, very spicy.
It's quite spicy, and the herbally flavour is fennel, because there's a lot of fennel in these products. So that's almost licorice-y type of flavour that you get coming through with these things. But the last thing I wanted to show you, this one now, this is, so for the listeners
at home...
that's
a thick one.
Yeah, this is about 10 inches long. It's about an inch and a half thick. This is a really good quality...
I don't know how we're getting through this without giggling. You know, you're just terrible.
I think you're doing really,
you're really
well, actually.
Not bad.
But this one is this is a good quality salami. This is a traditional type of salami. So again, it's made with a starter culture. It's been fermented. It's been heavily smoked. And this is sort of the baby brother of the ones you'd see the slices of in the supermarket. So the sliced product
that you put
in
on
the supermarket,
you
just make it thicker.
That you put on your pizza.
Yeah, and you slice it. Same thing as pepperoni. So pepperoni would be very, very similar to this, except it has a lot more paprika and a lot more spice in it to give it that real kick that you get in pepperoni.
The only thing that stands out is that it makes all the English sausages seem quite bland, because we don't...
pork and apple?
Yeah,
how
but it's not bland? It's not all spicy and the like, is it? I mean, we make ours the raw, and you have to cook them. I don't, to my knowledge, know. Do we make any sausages that are...
We have got a couple of small producers in the UK that do fermented type of products, but they are very small producers. And of course, you've got the things like the dry curd meat, so the biltong type of products, which very much complement this type of fermented technology. But there are a few of those people around making those in the UK as well. But for me, I love the artisanal aspect of these types of products. And this is where, you know, these places like Germany and Denmark and Spain have taken these traditional products that were traditionally made, you know, in somebody's farmhouse mm-hmm. kitchen or in a small butcher shop, and they've actually industrialized them and made them just as well, but maintained all that lovely artisanal technology. It's a very different world to the British banger, and that's really what I wanted to share with you today.
Yeah, and I guess in a way, if you look at it, we tend not to eat that much cold sausage. We tend to prefer it cooked.
We do.
What's the there's a skin, isn't there? The sausage is pushed into a skin.
It is, yeah. So the
well,
sausage
it used to be
mix,
the intestine, didn't it? Was it the intestine?
Well, it was. I mean, the sausage, all these types of sausage products will be filled into some sort of a skin or a casing. So in the old-fashioned sense, it would have been hog, the intestines of hogs. So they're about an inch thick. So that's why you get big fat, you know, sausages, your British banger sausages. Sheep intestines are narrower. They're about half an inch thick. So you get chipolata-type sausages used in a sheep's intestine.
But these days, though, it's all artificial stuff.
No, not necessarily.
It?
No? I mean, there's a trend. If you buy your premium sausages, they'll be in natural hog casings, intestine casings. A lot of it is made from collagen. So a lot of it is made from beef collagen. So trying to use the whole animal, the hide of a cow, the collagen is removed from the hide, and that is used to make a collagen casing, which is fully edible. So you find a lot of beef collagen casings. Some of these things like the Frankfurt.
Don't Steph screwing her face up. It was you that asked.
I did ask.
But you then got things like the Frankfurters, they'll be filled into some sort of a plastic type casing, and that is stripped off after they've cooked them. So they strip the casing off and then they pack them like this.
Oh, do I get to take these home and taste them?
You can indeed.
Very, very quickly, do you have a favourite?
A favourite? Or yes, my personal favourite in terms of these continental things is German peppered salami. I love the kick you get from peppered salami. That's great.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been nice to do something so different in 5 years. I've never done anything like it before. But unfortunately, we're kind of out of time. I've never done sausages live on air. I can assure you of that.
Well, I've got my tea for tomorrow.
You got your sausages. You're taking home. Yeah,
I've got a few samples for you.
Well, Mr. Cheese, I prefer sausage inspector. I think that's much better name for you. But I know that we're going to have you back because we're going to be doing wine tasting with you later on in the year, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
But thank you very much for coming in and bringing all your sausages, dare I say. It's been a pleasure to have you on. So,
right, thank you very much.
Stay with us. We're going to compose ourselves. Throw Steph out of the studio. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Pentatonics and Misbehaving. I like that. So, in fact, me and Matthew were just talking. You like them too, don't you, mate?
I do. I'm a big fan of a cappella singing.
Yeah, it's nice because they used to do covers, and this is their first album where they've actually written their own stuff, which is quite good. So is that out now? It's been out for a little while, actually. But I stopped playing it because I haven't kept taking the mickey because I like them too much. So I thought we haven't had one in ages, so I'll shove a track in this week. So, but are you two sausage lovers, by the way? Outside looking in. I think they're carving up some sausages for us.
Very disappointed not to be allowed into the studio with all the sausages.
You could have come in. Well, mind you, we could hear them sniggering as it was. God knows what it would be like with four of you all sniggering in the corner. So, I don't know how we keep a straight face when we do some of these things. I really don't. So, the boys are in. So let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 21st of January, 2016.
A British gay man who died whilst he was on holiday and honeymoon in Australia will have his same-sex marriage recognised on his death certificate. David Bulmer Ritzy died after a fall down a flight of stairs left him with a cracked skull whilst on a holiday with his husband Marco in Adelaide. On the death certificate, it was stamped never married, as South Australian law did not recognise their marriage. This meant that Marco was not recognised as his next of kin. South Australia's Premier Jay Witherill said that he had phoned the widower to express his sorrow over his treatment. He has given Marco his personal guarantee that his husband's death certificate will be reissued with his correct marital status. The Premier said that legislation will also be passed to recognise overseas same-sex marriages in South Australia.
Tributes from gay and gay-friendly actors from stage and screen have been paid to Alan Rickman, who died last week at the age of 69 after a battle with cancer. Rickman will be best remembered for his memorable interpretation of Professor Snape in the Harry Potter series of movies, but had a wide range of stage and screen credits to his name, including the movie Dark Harbour in 1998, where he played a gay man. Sir Ian McKellen said he was a constant agent for helping others. Thespian Stephen Fry and singer Sam Smith have also paid personal tributes on their websites.
A leading private school in the UK has made a change to its uniform policy in order to make trans students feel more welcome. Brighton College, which takes students from the age of 8, is removing gendered uniform roles to accommodate for gender non-conforming and trans students. The school will now allow any student the option to wear a skirt, blouse and bolero or trousers and shirt, tie and blazer. In a statement, the school said it was reacting to a changing society, which recognises that some children have gender dysphoria and do not wish to lose their emotional gender identities at school.
Mark Hamill, the actor who plays Star Wars hero Luke Skywalker, has suggested that the character might be bisexual. Hamill made the remarks on the role he first played in 1977's Star Wars movie in response to a fan who had posted a question online. Hamill pointed out that Skywalker shows very little romantic interest in anyone during the films, marking him out as different from many standard hero roles. He said that it was up to the audience if they wanted to give Skywalker a bisexual interpretation.
The security service MI5 has been named as the UK's most gay-friendly employer following a survey by Stonewall. It beat some 400 organisations to top Stonewall's 2016 list of best employers for LGBT staff. MI5 Director General Andrew Parker said it was a great acknowledgement of the continued progress we have made. Stonewall said that MI5 had demonstrated its equality in 10 areas of its employment policy and practice, including networking groups, training and community engagement. Lloyds Banking Group and the National Assembly for Wales took second and third place overall.
Three teenagers in America have been arrested and charged after kidnapping the user of a local-based dating app at gunpoint and robbing him. The teenagers used Grindr to locate the 31-year-old victim in West Palm Beach. They forced the victim to drive to a cash machine and escorted him to the bank. It's not the first time that a location-based dating app has been used to track down victims. In December, reports of gang robberies in London came to light after two people were attacked. Police have reminded people to take steps to help them stay safe when meeting strangers, such as informing a friend and always meeting in a populated public place.
India's first LGBTI taxi service has been launched this week in Mumbai. The Rainbow Wings initiative by Wings Travels and the Hum Safar Trust hopes to empower members of the often marginalised community by providing a dignified livelihood. Under the pilot programme, three transgender women and two gay men will undergo etiquette training in the 9 to 12 months that it takes to obtain a driving licence. This service is expected to start fully functioning in 2017.
And finally, Russia has banned a festival celebrating gay fish. Yes, you heard that correctly. The Arkansas local authorities has banned a rally in the city in honour of gay smelt, which is a type of small fish and features widely in the Russian staple diet. Gay rights activists were hoping to hold gay fish banners and placards at the festival on the 25th of January, as well as calling for a ban on overfishing. Alongside the Gay Fish Festival request, gay rights activists also asked for the right to march for an LGBTI victims of so-called ISIS in Iraq and Syria, and also wished to hold two winter pride events. The local authorities have refused all four requests due to what they say is the federal gay propaganda law that bans the promotion of homosexuality to under 18s. By banning all four requests, activists are hoping to make clear that Russian authorities are putting a tribute to gay fish in the same category as protests against extremism.
For these stories and more, visit the Shoutout website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this is Nathan Adam
and Matthew Tosh.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, I'm Morgan James, and you're listening to Shoutout.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
So, from sausages to Julie Garland. But before we do that, Renegades by the Ex-Ambassadors, that song. So, quite a nice one. Lots of music this week. So
from red sausages to someone who wore red shoes. Yeah, Wizard of Oz.
So, well, you'd have thought these days you couldn't really talk to Julie Garland, obviously. But apparently you can, or at least that's what I thought when I first heard this. And let me get my notes. Ivan was in California. That's where this was recorded. Speaking to Julie Garland.
Ooh.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
He gets to meet him all, doesn't he?
Now, who wouldn't relish the opportunity to go back in time and speak with gay icons such as the likes of Judy Garland, Betty Davis and Mae West and many others? Well, thanks to the singer, female impersonator and entertainer extraordinaire, Mr. Michael Holmes, I'm able to do just that. Judy Garland, or should I say Michael, welcome to Shout Out.
Well, thank you, darling.
Michael, when did you first realise that you developed this, like, uncanny ability for mimicry?
It was a big accident, really, the way it started. I had moved to Saugatuck, Michigan, which is a gay resort town. And I went as Betty Davis for Halloween, just as a lark. And then in the spring, there was a contest called Miss Sunset Coast Classic, which was a drag contest for people over 35. So you're in your sunset years of drag. And I never thought about doing it. And then there was this big, mean drag queen there who asked me if I was going to do it. And I said, no. And he said, why? And I said, because I'm not a drag queen. I just did it once for Halloween. It was a joke. And then he went around town and told everybody I was afraid to compete against him. So the morning of the contest, I joined. And I borrowed a dress from my friend Candy. It didn't fit right. I had to wear it backwards, literally. I didn't know anything about a drag contest. And they had three things. They had swimsuit, which I didn't have. They had evening wear and cocktail wear. Well, I had the same dress, so I just hiked it up into different places. It was a mini skirt, a knee length, and a floor length, you know? They sequester everybody. You can't talk. And they do this Q&A period. And I got to see the videos afterwards. And the question they asked everyone the same one. If you were a real woman, who would you be and why? And, you know, when I saw the videos, I almost said his name. Said he I would be Mother Teresa. I'm like, you fat cow, you would not. You're a drag queen. Anyway, I didn't know the protocol. So I just walked in and they said, if you were a real woman, who would you be and why? And I said, if I were a real woman, I'm Betty F***ing Davis. And I threw my cigarette at him and I walked out.
So how did the Judy show come about then? Because that's your Betty Davis impression.
Well, I won the contest.
You did.
I did a comedy monologue, which is also out of protocol, as Betty Davis, instead of a lip sync. And the owners of the club, the audience went nuts for it, and they asked me if I could come up with a show. So we started as Betty and the boys, me and two guys. You know, Betty is great, but she only rides so far. And I was trying to think of somebody who was a built-in host for a variety of characters. Well, Judy Garland had her show.
That's right, that dates from the 60s, right?
1964, yeah. 63, 64. And so I started doing Judy and building in more characters.
And you play Judy and the guests as well.
And I play all of her guests. Carol Channing, Betty Davis, Pearl Bailey, Mae West, Tallulah Bankhead, Katharine Hepburn, Billie Holiday.
That's a whole heap. I mean, they're all huge gay icons, haven't they? And they've got extremely strong characters. But they nearly all had, like, pronounced personal struggles of their own, right?
So absolutely.
Do you find that's a reason why they resonate so well with your audiences?
They're tragic heroes. All of them are. You know, I think that's what's one of the greatest things about Judy Garland. When you really listen to her live recordings, she goes to hit a note, and she's not on it, and she slides into it. And it's almost the personification of our personal struggle.
Right. So, like, her alcoholism, it's sort of reflected in
it's
the
like,
way she sings.
You know, she's got to slide into that.
She's getting right in there. And in regards to your audience, I mean, it's very mixed, isn't it? It's not just LGBT people that come to see you.
No, and it's actually interesting. I'm originally from Chicago, and I play the East Coast as well. So I play the East Coast, the Midwest, and the West Coast. And on the West Coast, it's mostly gay clubs, but a lot of straight people come. On the East Coast, I play theaters.
Right, right.
You know, so, and it's also a mixed bag in the audience.
Do you get the same reaction from the audiences? Do they laugh in the same places?
Oh, yes. But I actually do a different show in the theater. When you're in a club where everybody's drinking, you have to kind of, boom, hit them over the head with stuff. When they're in a theater focused on you and they paid, you know, $50 a ticket, they're paying attention, so you can be much more subtle.
So, with regards to all these women that you impersonate, I mean, sadly, a lot of them, most of them have now passed away. Do you think it's important that the next generation of LGBT people learn about them?
Absolutely. And you know what's so interesting is I have a lot of young people who come and don't know who any of these people are that I do. And then they start Googling them, and they love them, and they love the characters, whether they know who they are or not.
Because it's entertaining anyway.
The humor and the music is universal.
I mean, one of the few people who is still alive is Carol Channing. I mean, she's in her 90s now, right? But you've actually met her in person, haven't you?
I have. I've had dinner with her. I've opened shows for her as Judy rather than Carol. However, one night I was having dinner with Carol and her then-husband, Harry, who's since passed away. And Harry liked me to do Carol's voice.
Right.
And we would do kind of dueling Carols at dinner. And finally, she just said to me, she said, "Well, Michael, you're just marvelous, but tell me, why is it always men who do me?" And I said, "I don't know, Carol. It's always men who do me, too."
Fantastic.
She loved it.
I bet she loved it. You know, Michael, Judy, thank you so much for talking to me today and giving us all an insight into these amazing women you impersonate. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Hi, this is Bethany Black, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's good. Bang My Head. It's a David Guetta track, that one.
What? Guetta's banging his head?
Yeah, well, that's what the track's called.
So. Oh, okay.
I thought it was suitable for Steph, if you ask me.
Oh, really? Hey,
I'm back. They let me back into the studio and be on a mic, you fools.
have you been stuffing yourself with sausages?
No.
She nearly choked on that one earlier on. I was worried about you, to be honest.
Yeah, you're meant to chew.
Really?
Yeah, you're meant to chew your food.
Sorry, that's where I was going wrong.
You know, it helps to break it down.
I was told not to chew a sausage.
We were very well behaved.
I must admit, I learnt a lot, actually, listening to that.
Did you? I thought you just learnt how to giggle.
Well, no, about the casings and all that. It was very technical.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
It was very interesting.
I'd never want to eat a sausage again.
I know, I must admit, it did put me off when he was going on about the intestines and everything.
No, it's too late for you, my love. It's too
far gone. Yeah, that is what they're made of. I'm sorry, you know, go up to Scotland, eat haggis, you know.
Yeah, that comes. That's Oh, hello. Hang on. No, let me press your button. There you go. Try
hello.
That.
Yeah,
there
we that's
go.
On Monday.
Are you a sausage person, Nathan?
I am a sausage person.
Yeah, I am too. Love it.
I'm sat here. I've been look. I'll take a photo and stick it. I've been eating these little things.
Oh, yeah. So they're those mini
pepper army.
Yeah, they're great.
They're extremely strong smelling. Andy put it in my face and I nearly keeled over.
Was it a bit garlicky? Sorry.
But you don't. You said you don't like spicy sausages and the like. So it's not going to be your cup of tea, really.
I'm not really into the sort of super
spicy
stuff.
I didn't think
you liked
anything spicy either, Andy.
But they're not hot spicy. They're just, you know, got a slight peppery kick to them.
Oh, right.
Whereas your idea of a mild curry is enough to blow your brains out, mate.
I'm quite careful when you come around.
I can see somebody loading Audacity right now onto their computer at home and cutting out that Andy was waving his sausage in front of Natalie's face.
Yes.
That's going to appear somewhere else, isn't it?
Oh, that'll be the Christmas show.
Actually, those words were not used.
No.
Sorry? No. That's what entered my ears.
Oh, that's what you thought you wanted to hear. Now behave.
I have to admit, when I first ever got involved with Shout Out, the one thing I never ever thought I would be doing on here is sausage tasting. You know, just another one of those bizarre things that happens every now and again on Shout Out. There's nothing to do with the LGBT community. We just like sausages.
It's all part of the course.
Now can we get a champagne taster in next?
You're not allowed to drink in the studio, Nat. You know this.
Well, we'll have to do it. We'll have to do it for somewhere else and like feed into the studio.
Well, we are going to talk to him about wines, aren't we? We're going to do. In fact, I think me and Ivan are going to have a lot of fun doing that, aren't we?
Yes.
I'd just like to say it's not going to be done in the studio. No one's going to be driving. Someone's house.
Yes. But we're going to do one on red, one on white, one on rosé, and probably one on bubbly as well, aren't we? I think.
Oh, that's
bubbly's
right.
Bubbly's got to be done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's some extremely nice bubblers out there.
Very, very quickly, because we're going to run out of show. Next week, After Dark is broadcasting at midnight.
Brilliant.
On Pep and Prep. It was really, really good. You've listened to it as well, haven't you, Ivan?
It was really good. It's a very good interview, actually.
So, and Screen Queens were covering, what was the name of the film?
We were doing the Danish Girl.
Ah, yes.
And Steffi was involved in that as well, so...
Yes, for 90 seconds, I think.
Quite a lot.
Still. Anyway, that's it for this week. Don't forget, if you have any events that you want people to know about, you can now post them directly on our website itself.
To do that, or find out more about us and our shows, just visit shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As I said, we got two shows coming up for you next week. Our regular show is going to be covering LGBT History Month, which, of course, kicks off in February. While at midnight on BCFM and on Pirate Nation Radio, sees the return of the next Shoutout After Dark. We're talking Pep and Prep. But for myself and the Shoutout team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Or should it be sausages?
Shoutout.
LGBT Radio for you.